This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day to all.
Larry Richard with Michael Bartley. And every Monday on our 8 o'clock hour, we welcome our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister.
Who's a very proud dad on this St. Patrick's Day. Your kid was in the parade Saturday.
He was in the parade. That was, I told him it was something he would remember for the rest of his life, but The 15-year-old seems to have a lot of those moments on a regular basis these days. So I'm like, you're living a good life there, kid. So Keep it going.
He's Seton LaSalle, and he plays the trumpet.
He's football. He's made states for public speaking. He's made nationals for public speaking. He has been on the robotics team.
Aww.
He was on the Whippio runner-up team as a backup.
You know
as
what?
A freshman. He's done a little bit of everything.
That's
this
good
year.
Stuff, man.
It is.
These are good days. I know they're hectic. You're working. You're in that world where, you know, you're going to you're coaching, you're going to everything your kids do that you can go to. So your days are full, your weekends are full, but it's good.
He's on the honor roll. He was on the honor roll the first semester. So it's like, dude, I will run you around. It drives me nuts, but you're doing all these things well. And people compliment you on your character. Yeah, I'll put some extra gas in the gas tank and drive you around and play daddy cab.
I have to know this. What did he say about the St. Patrick's Day parade?
He enjoyed it.
Dad, okay, them Irish are wow.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Our last
down
name
there.
Is McAllister.
Yeah, so
I mean,
he's
I don't think it's a brand new revelation.
Plus, it's
to him.
Seton LaSalle, so it's a bunch of Irish Catholics cheering them on.
Again,
right?
he's a cradle Catholic, so again, it's nothing shocked him
right.
from Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
Well, while we're on the subject, real quick, my 8-year-old granddaughter, Georgia Papson, took second in the state of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia on the beam in gymnastics.
This weekend?
Yes. Yeah, yesterday.
Or, how old is she?
Saturday night. She's 8.
Oh, my.
Level 7 gymnast, second in the state on beam.
She'll be in the Olympics.
I looked just like her when I was her age. Not. I couldn't step on that beam, period. It's only 4 inches wide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the good
thing. That is sheer talent, you know.
But I want to ask you this question. As you're watching that as a grandfather, tell us for just a second the balance between amazement seeing her do it and fear of what happens if.
100%. You nailed it. What's different, though, is with your kids, and I have 3 kids, went through AAU basketball with each one of them, football, other events, gymnastics. It's different. The enjoyment's there for the grandkids to watch, but it's not as intense when you're the parent. But you do worry about that stuff.
But you can't articulate it because the kids get mad. No,
yes.
You can't say that.
No,
you can't.
To be a gymnast, you have to have a level of confidence or you can't do anything. So, and then when you're 8 years old, you go, where is this coming from? I'll show you guys in the break just because it's a short routine.
Why did you ask him that? Do you get scared when your kids play sports?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where you get proud, but you're more proud afterwards. But in the moment, you're kind of like both trying to coach them, but also trying to make sure that they're okay. And, you know, but I'm like that with all the kids when I coach. When I see a kid hit the floor, I'm sprinting on the floor. It could be on the other team or my team. I'm usually that dude that's like, okay, let's make sure nobody's hurt. Everybody okay? And then you're back.
If your kid gets injured, are you one of those parents that runs to the field, or do you get all bent out of shape, or what?
I don't get bent out of shape.
Because kids get injured. They get injured playing sports. What are you going to do?
Michael, I stay calm, I'm aware and in tune,
All right. We've seen this series of deadly storms over the weekend. More than 40 people that we know of at this point were killed. Some very close calls even here yesterday. But with the dismantling of so many departments and agencies at the federal level, response now is a question. Like, what happens next?
That is a very good question, Larry, because this is going to be a test of the Trump administration. If the federal government responds in a way that's efficient, that gets people the help that they need and they're satisfied, they're going to then be able to pivot back to the American people and say, we told you that we can make government more efficient. We told you we can do this better than what we saw with Hurricane Helene last year and other incidences over the last several years. This is why, and here's where the political spin is going to come in. Here's why our cuts work. Here's why DOGE is working. This is why we're going to make America great again. If, on the flip side to that, the response is just as bad or worse because of the cuts, you talk about people being frustrated and losing hope now, it's only going to elevate. And what people don't want to talk about as well is we've been talking about the stock market being rocky now for several weeks. This is going to impact jobs in the South, in addition to the government cuts. And then if the response isn't good, it's going to impact employment that way as well. The job numbers next month are going to look worse than they did this month. And that would be the opposite of what the Trump administration wants to see.
Hey, Lenny, Thursday night, and I talked about this last Thursday night, a Republican congressman in North Carolina. I'm sure you
saw Asheville, North Carolina.
You know where it was? And they had to have security come and usher him out of the room. That's how bad this got, that because people were screaming, how could you do this to us? It was about all the cuts, all the Elon Musk stuff, and he's staying with it, this congressman. His name is escaping me right now. You might know it. But they're telling them, don't you dare have town halls anymore.
I want to get your response. Lenny McAllister, Michael Bartley, also want to ask you about Trump says he's meeting with Putin tomorrow, and Voice of America.
Oh,
no more.
No more.
And we begin a brand new segment with our own Tamira Rush from our newsroom. Good morning, T.
Good morning, guys.
And we have with us Michael Bartley and Lenny McAllister.
Hi, T.
Hello, guys.
Nice to meet you, Tamira.
This is kind of like Face the Nation.
I love it.
T, tell us what Trending with T is all about.
Yeah, so it's just a brief segment that I search the World Wide Web and social media, Instagram, Twitter, to figure out what's trending and what people are talking about. And I come in and I translate that to you in hopes that people out there who are listening understand what the hot topics are and kind of get people into cooler talk conversations during the morning.
Great. All right. So what's trending with T?
Well, it seems like St. Patty's Day weekend turned into St. Baddie's Day weekend.
Right?
So there are two videos that are circulating that have gone viral. One of the videos have like over 7.1K views that took place this past weekend. One was on Carson Street and the other was in Homestead in front of Eon Bar. Community members and people who are outraged by how the videos unfolded, meaning that things that take place on Pitt campus, Duquesne University campus, and on the South Side, people feel like in the community that there are differences in how police conduct the activity that's happening in those particular areas. Mm-hmm. So let's break down the first video that was in front of Eon Nightclub. There was an incident that took place outside that nightclub where a police officer who's a canine dog officer in Homestead was involved in conflict there, but the dog had bitten someone who apparently at the particular time wasn't involved in that altercation. Now, this isn't coming from me, and this isn't my opinion. I'm just speaking on what's transpiring on social media and what people are saying
and
about
another
that.
Video, T, that we saw was police horses on East Carson Street with the line of police officers after there was a shooting, and I believe the young victim is going to survive. But it was reminiscent of what they do at Mardi Gras. At the end of Mardi Gras, they sweep the street. Now, it's 2:43 in the morning.
Right.
After a long, long day on Saturday. But Southside continues to present issues.
Right. And the second video is a young man who was arrested. There were probably about 6 or 7 police officers. But apparently, the guy was videotaping some other incident that was happening at the particular time. And the police officer, I guess, had conversation with him about videotaping and moving out the way. I'm guessing that he didn't move fast enough. However, the bottom line is people in the communities are outraged because the same activities that happen when black people are involved, mm-hmm. the same energy isn't giving when it's white patrons or white partygoers. In those areas. Mm. Prime example is an incident that took place last week when approximately 6 white girls were fighting on Carson Street as well. But the blow up in the videos weren't sent out amongst the masses in the way that people would see something happen like something that took place on Carson Street. So these are the things that people are talking about. I reached out to John Burwell of Homestead. I sent him a text message as well to get a comment from him on where things stand regarding that incident in Homestead. I haven't had a return text, but that doesn't mean he's not going to respond. I also reached out to Mary Nesby, who's on council there. She's the vice president there on council. I had a conversation with her, and she said there are multiple videos that are circulating. She is going to do her due diligence to let people know and inform people of what actually took place, but she wants the investigation to take place before giving a premature comment on what took place. However, they are doing their due diligence.
So that story really has just begun, it sounds to me.
Absolutely. I mean, people are outraged. And I mean, these are some of the things that are happening. I mean, it's the weekend, everyone is partying, they're having a good time. But, you know, when you look at the things that what happened at Pitt University with the students, the excessive drinking, how are those things handled outside of what took place?
Speaking of Pitt, did that video trend big time, the roof collapse?
Absolutely. I mean, it got thousands, even in some cases, millions of views because something as horrific as that that took place. I hope and pray that everyone survived.
They were
that
damn lucky that they got away without mm-hmm.
16
just, you know,
injured.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, Trending with T.
Trending with T every day at 20. Thank you.
All right, T. Every Monday, we welcome Lenny McAllister in studio for our 8 o'clock hour. And today, we have the bonus of Michael Bartley.
And we love Lenny. Okay, here's where we left off. You ready?
Yeah.
You were making a point about the Trump administration responding to these storms in the South.
Yep.
And then I said it was a Southern deal in North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina.
And the GOP now telling their congresspeople, don't have town halls. You're going to get your clock cleaned. And this guy did. They had to have security walking out. So people are paying attention.
Well, he walked into a perfect storm, no pun intended. Number one, Asheville, North Carolina is a liberal place.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Republican congressperson that's in a pretty much gerrymandered district where you have Asheville, where there's the University of North Carolina, Asheville, a bunch of young people, a bunch of liberal people surrounded by conservatives, where that ends up being a Republican district. That's number one. Number two, you're talking about Western North Carolina, which was the region that was crushed by Hurricane Helene. I mean, mudslides where people lost everything. So you still have frustrated people saying, we've been like this since October. It's been 6 months later. The Biden administration didn't really address this the way we wanted to. The Trump administration's cutting resources, and you're voting for this. So mm-hmm. you have all of that coming together at a time where you then also have a congressman saying, and you want to know why people don't want to have town halls, which only sounds like the arrogant politician that he in that instance was being perfect storm. People came together. They had to usher him out of there. Mm.
And they were probably the hardest hit town.
Yes.
I mean, there were others.
Yeah.
But that region right there, they got crushed.
They did. And they just want help wherever it's going to come from. They don't care. I don't think red, blue, they just help us. Mm-hmm. And they didn't feel like they got it from the Biden administration, and yet to be seen what they're able to do with the Trump administration in terms of getting them back on their feet.
And a lot of those counties, Larry and Michael, a lot of those counties, aside from Asheville, Buncombe County, a lot of the counties are red counties. These are Trump voters. So to go to a Republican congressperson, for folks that voted for the Trump administration, and say, what do you mean we were not really getting help before, now we're going to get even less? That's where a lot of that frustration came from as well.
All right. Over the weekend, among the additional cuts and executive orders came a surprising move to many, where Voice of America and other entities that are associated paid furloughs for now, but the Voice of America, explain, Lenny, what that is, because a lot of people might not know.
Voice of America is part of what we like to call soft power, which is it's basically a radio station, media entity that is stationed in other places around the world that puts out, whether you want to call it messaging about democracy or you want to call it propaganda, depending on where you're coming from, that talks about what we do as Americans, what we stand for, and what people in other countries that may not be able to get that message freely are able to look forward to. This is part of the soft power that helped take down the Iron Curtain and bring down the Soviet Union, particularly in the 1980s when you had all the conflict going on in Poland and other places, and particularly, you know, East Germany. Now, with that said, if you look at what happened with USAID and you look at the Trump administration becoming more and more isolationist, and then you say, okay, we're going to get rid of Voice of America as well, we're going to get rid of more soft power, that's not a surprise. The flip side to that is it is better to enact soft power to try to persuade these geopolitical affairs than it is to put military in and bomb like we saw with Yemen over the weekend. That's much more dangerous and much more volatile.
Well, we'll see what happens to the Voice of America in the future, if it will cease to exist at all. That said, NPR and other... Michael, you spent a good chunk of your career in public television.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, 17 years I did at WQED. Aren't they next on the chopping block? I mean, even Mitt Romney, when he ran...
In 2012.
Tried to go after them. But I think that I've been waiting for this. When are they going to try to slash the what is it, $460 million? And as it relates to the whole federal budget, it's not a major thing, but... they've been wanting to knock that money out for years.
Well, it's the symbolism of being able to knock that money out. Because there's a critique that many on the left gravitate to your NPRs and to your public television. So the argument is it's supposed to be non-political and unbiased, and yet it is not.
And I watch Frontline, Lenny, or some of those shows, Nova, it's not political. I don't think so.
But if you go to NPR, and I used to do NPR hits from all the way back to 2008, you get
it's
some of the
hosts. NPR is their target than PBS,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, at this point in time, I would agree with that. Because, again, NPR has a bigger name. They publish online, so you're reading articles. You're also having interviews. They're also, people forget about this, NPR, for many, many, many years, was also in the White House briefing room. They were also asking questions. They had access to the Oval in regards to being able to directly petition and question and inquire. And if you look at what's been going on with the Trump administration, they're trying to change that dynamic as well. As we well know, there have been some, including the AP, that have been ushered out. Mm-hmm. You've had some, including Newsmax, that have been ushered in.
When we come back, I want to ask you about tomorrow's potential meeting. President Trump said on Air Force One yesterday that he plans on talking to Vladimir Putin. Is there an end in sight, or at least a reasonable ceasefire opportunity between Ukraine and Russia? Larry Richard with Michael Bartley on this St. Patty's Day
today.
And every Monday in our 8 o'clock hour, we welcome our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister. So, Lenny, tomorrow may be a significant day in history. It has that potential.
Yes and no. I mean, it has the potential because if Trump and Putin do talk, and there are some type of negotiations that lead someplace that can be significant. But again, and this goes back to what Zelensky and others have said, having a ceasefire and having peace is not the same way as having a lasting peace and having something that's going to be bring some stability for Ukraine. I mean, again, if you're Vladimir Putin, sure, I'll have a ceasefire, but I want to keep the territory that I've taken over the last 10 to 11 years from Ukraine. I want more concessions, and I want Ukraine out of NATO. And by the way, I want no more NATO expansion, and I want to make sure that that transpires. Those are all the conditions that Russia wants. Those aren't the conditions that the EU wants.
Correct.
Those are not the conditions that Ukraine wants. And anybody that wants a lasting peace that does not want to relive the 1930s and early 40s should also say, I don't know if those are the conditions that the United States of America should be acquiescing to. And that's what we need to watch for when it comes to Trump and Putin possibly speaking tomorrow.
That meeting, I was just going to say, we're watching to see what happens at that meeting. But, you know, Europe is really watching. I mean, seems to be a bigger deal there.
Well, it's on their doorstep.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're an ocean divided apart from it.
And they're so afraid that Putin wants to keep going.
Here's what I think is scary, because we're seeing a reformulation of how the quote-unquote teams are playing out geopolitically, and there's twofold to this. Number one, the EU is looking at the United States and saying, we can't count on the United States as much as we used to, as long as Donald Trump and MAGA are running the United States government. Number two, and this is something that neither one of you and I think a lot of Americans and Pennsylvanians need to know about, Time magazine reported that the United States has been added to the Civitas list for nations to watch in regards to concerns for human rights. That's a list that generally Russia, China, Cuba, and others are actively and have been consistently listed on. If the United States starts being added to those type of lists while acquiescing to Russia when it comes to what's going on in Ukraine, you're going to see a new world order of how the teams play out, where we're now pitted against our traditional allies from World War I, World War II, and the Cold War. That's something that I don't know if Americans truly were voting for in November when they were worried about the cost of eggs.
All right, last minute. What else is on the radar for this week?
Everybody watch your 401ks. The stock market does not know what to deal with this trade war with Canada and Mexico and others when it comes to these tariffs. I mean, the last we heard...
Every day the messaging changes.
Michael, the last we heard that Donald Trump was willing to put a 200% tariff on European wine and spirits. If something like that even comes close to coming down in addition to what else has dropped, the roller coaster of Wall Street's going to continue.
Don't mess with people's booze.
No. No.
I don't care what party you're in.
Uh-uh.
All right, that said.
Especially on St. Patrick's Day.
No, not today.
There was some great news. The two astronauts who have been stranded on the space station over the weekend saw their first visitors and are going to be coming home after they were supposed to be there in June for 8 days. And it's taken all this time. And that poor astronaut... With the hair,
yeah,
her hair's always flying.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of them greeting the arriving astronauts? It was pretty cool. One was wearing an alien mask when he came through the tunnel.
I did not see that. I missed that.
There's a book and a movie coming on this for sure. Miss that.
Yeah.
Lenny McAllister, thanks for your time.
Thanks,
Lenny. We'll check you out Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you both. God bless you all out there.